Hello and welcome to this reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. We're continuing on our Lent journey as we look at the teachings of Jesus as found in Matthew. And last week we looked at Jesus' teachings about do not worry. This week we're looking at a slightly harder passage. So I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 to 23. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes, or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good fruit tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. The good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and the bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. So the passage for today is hard, and not something most people want to hear. Especially not in our society, which tells us that there is not one absolute universal truth, but only what is true for you, which may be different from what is true for me or someone else. But Jesus' teachings in this passage cuts through this societal way of thinking. Jesus explains that there are only two paths, the broad, attractive road that leads to destruction, and the narrow, difficult road that leads to life. So let's take a look at those two paths, starting with the path to destruction. So the first thing to note about the path of destruction is that it is broad. And so this suggests a number of things. Firstly, it suggests that it is popular. The broad road means lots of people can travel it as a large crowd all bundled up together. And so this means that the broad road is attractive, making it popular for many people. Jesus cautions us that many people will choose to take this road because it is easy. In fact, it is so easy to be on this road that all anyone needs to do is nothing. This is the default path that we are all on if we do not make the decision to follow Christ. We are all on this path if we choose to live as we want, without any consideration for following Jesus. It is easy and it is popular. The broadness of this path also means that those who travel it can take all their baggage, all their creature comforts, and all the additions to life that they want. There is no need to let go of anything on this path, so people can hold on to the sinful lives, the selfishness, and anything else that we tend to carry with us. We all carry some kind of baggage with us, unless we seek God's help to let it go. We hold on to sinful habits and behaviours. We struggle to let go of guilt and shame. We hold grudges and bitterness against one another. All of this weighs us down and smothers us. And if we have not let Jesus lift this burden from our shoulders, then we struggle on with it as we walk the path of distraction. We also carry with us the things that make us comfortable, whether that is material, physical things, or feelings and actions that we do. On the road to distraction, there is no need to move outside your comfort zone. You can remain in your comfortable bubble, safe and sound, not needing to risk anything. This means the road to destruction is very attractive and popular, because we do not like leaving our comfort zones. We like to play things safe and stick with what is familiar. But often Jesus calls us to leave the safe and familiar. Whether we do or not determines which path we choose to walk. And thirdly, this path, because it is so broad, also allows a person to meander and deviate and follow every fleeting thought. And so it can allow people with many different beliefs and philosophies of life to travel on this road together. As I mentioned at the beginning, society tells us that what is true for one person can be different from what is true for another. And more in our society, people tend to pick and choose which bits of various religions, philosophies, and worldviews they want to follow. For example, someone might choose to follow some of Jesus's teachings, some of the teachings found in Hinduism, some pagan teachings, and the materialistic worldview. This pick and choose type of way of creating your own spirituality has become more and more popular, and people are led astray. So the path to destruction is broad, which means it's popular, people can carry their baggage, and they can meander and deviate as they wish, holding many worldviews and perspectives. The path to destruction is also deceptive. When we think of those who walk the path of destruction, we might think of those who revel in the carnal pleasures of sin, such as the greedy rich playboy who takes pleasure wherever he finds it. Or we might think of those who are corrupted by evil acts, perhaps the serial murderer whose corruption is plain to see. But accompanying these people on the broad road to destruction are those who seem like lovely, good people. Those who go out of their way to help others, who volunteer to provide for those in need, who give vast amounts of money to charity. Those who are compassionate, kind, hard-working and honest, who try to live good lives. Those whose sinful actions seem, at least to us, to be minor, and whose good actions balance it out in our human thinking. There are even those on this path who seem to be devout, faithful people. Jesus warns the disciples, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven." This is a terrifying and shocking thing for Jesus to say, and it is terribly tragic that people hear these words because they have spent their lives believing they were travelling on the right path, but they did not truly know Jesus or follow the Father's will. The fact that they cried out, "Lord, Lord," demonstrates that they knew about Jesus and even thought that they were following his teachings. And yet they hear Jesus say, "I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers." I don't know about you, but the idea that someone could think they were on the right path and following Jesus only to get to the end and hear Jesus say those words is a horrifying concept. So how do we make sure we are on the right path, the narrow path? We need to have a true relationship with Jesus and not merely a passing association. We might be tempted to think to ourselves, "Oh, well, I know what path I'm on. I lead a good life, I go to church, I do good deeds, I put money in the offering, say amen to the prayers, and listen to the Bible readings on Sunday mornings," and so on. And these are great things, but if they are done merely out of habit or duty, then do you really have a relationship with Jesus? Are you really seeking connection with him? Or are you just trying to earn God's love? The road to destruction is deceptive, and it can lead people into becoming false disciples. To make matters worse, there are false prophets and teachers out there who try to deceive us into taking the wrong path. Jesus warns us to watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. We have to be discerning and listen to the Holy Spirit's directing and work out who is worth listening to, and who is trying to lead us astray. Some false teachers and prophets will be easy to spot, as they speak contradictorily to God's word, and it is clear that they are trying to take us off the right path. But there are many others who may seem to be teaching wise and useful things, but are still deceiving you away from following Jesus. So how do you spot who is a treacherous teacher and who is not? Jesus tells us, by their fruit you will recognize them. When we want to discern who is leading us astray, we need to look at their lives. Does what they say and what they do match up? Do they live what they preach? Do they have integrity? We also need to question, are they leading people closer to God or away from him? Do they follow what God tells us in his word? Do you sense that the Holy Spirit is working in and through them? It's also important to remember that we do not have to work this out on our own. The Holy Spirit lives within us to guide us and direct us, and so we need to stay in tune with him and listen to his guidance. If we are willing to pay attention to him and follow his lead, then we can be sure that he will guide us to the right path. So if we've looked at the path of destruction and seen that it is broad and therefore popular, allowing us to carry our baggage and to deviate as we wish, and it is also deceptive. People can believe they're on the right path, but it is a lie. There are false prophets and treacherous teachers who try to lead us astray. But what about the path to life? What do we learn about this path? Like the destructive path is broad, so the path to life is narrow, and this has a number of implications. In the broad path, a person is able to carry all their baggage. They do not have to let go of anything. However, in the narrow path, we are stripped bare of our baggage. To walk the narrow path, we must be willing to let go of the things we cling to. And that means we need to let go of sin and allow Jesus to cleanse us from all that stains and burdens us. We know that we all fall to temptation of sin. Romans 3 reminds us, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But when we come to Jesus in humble, heartfelt sorrow and supplication, he offers us his grace and forgiveness and lifts the weight of sin from our shoulders. So to be able to walk the narrow path, we need to ask God to forgive us and wash us clean with the precious blood of Jesus. But sin is not the only thing we need to be stripped bare of. We also need to ask God to strip us of our selfishness, our ego, our desire to follow our own will. In Luke 9, Jesus told his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily and follow me. To walk the narrow path, we need to be prepared to deny ourselves, to allow ourselves to be stripped bare so that we are able to truly follow and listen to God. The narrow path is a path of sacrifice, of giving up one's selfish desires and submitting to God's will. We are called to true humility and sacrifice. Another implication of being on the narrow path is that we need to follow closely behind Jesus, our leader. There is no room for deviation. Imagine you are out hiking in an unfamiliar place with difficult terrain. You're not worried though, because that you have an expert guide who has travelled these paths thousands of times before and knows every bump and stumbling place. This guide has instructed you to follow him carefully so that you will remain safe. Then you are led to a part of the path that has become really narrow and dangerous. The guide turns to you and says, as long as you place your feet in my footsteps, you'll be safe. Trust me. Well, this is what Jesus says to you, says to me, says to us all. He knows we're travelling a narrow and dangerous path, but he knows every aspect of that road, and so he asks us to trust him and follow in his footsteps as closely as we are able. The path of life. is narrow. The path of destruction is deceptive. The path of life is full of truth. Unfiltered and sometimes painful truth. Because we allow Jesus to strip us bare of all that hinders us as we walk the narrow path, this also means that we have to face up to the truth of who we are. We are confronted with the truth of the good, bad, and ugly parts of us, and we have to learn how to deal with them. Jesus does not allow us to remain ignorant to the darkness inside ourselves. In the book of Daniel, God is said to be someone who reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in the darkness, and light dwells with him. Jesus is the light of the world, and he shines his light on those parts of ourselves that we'd rather keep in darkness. Also, as part of this shining truth into our hearts, Jesus also calls us to be truthful with one another. So often we put up masks to protect ourselves, and we present the image that we'd like other people to see. But Jesus calls us to let down our masks, be vulnerable and truthful with one another, to live honestly with each other. So this means that we are honest with how we are really doing, physically, mentally, emotionally and spiritually. Phil Barnard, the team leader of London Baptists, once said to me that if he asks someone how they're doing and that person responds with, "Oh, I'm fine," then he challenges them, saying when he hears that, he takes that to mean that someone is feeling inadequate and needing encouragement. Fine. Feeling inadequate, needing encouragement. We pretend everything is going okay and nothing is bothering us. Let us be honest with one another and lean on each other for love, support and encouragement. We are supposed to be a body, and I know well from experience that when one part of the body is hurting, the other parts work harder to help support and strengthen the hurting part. Let us be honest and vulnerable with each other so that we can act as the body Jesus calls us to be and support and strengthen one another. So we see in this part of Matthew's Gospel that Jesus is giving people the stark truth that there are two paths, one that leads to destruction and one that leads to life. Which path are you on? And how can you help bring others to walk the narrow path and follow closely behind Jesus?